Blog Talk Radio.
Fellas, are ready to get this? Let's have some fun.
Let's break it up, man. Break it up.
Oh, yeah, here we go. Party started.
Give me some
payback,
volume.
Baby.
Oh,
what's that, baby?
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Thursday night edition, but we're still ready to rock and roll. Of course, I am Andre Peterson, joined by my co-host, Mr. Robert Ford and JQ. I'm going to check with him in a quick second. But once again, it is, May the 14th. Time is flying, and I would always want to check in. I want to let you guys know I'm actually wearing a headband tonight, guys, just to show my team solidarity. I just want to let you guys know that, okay? Wearing a headband tonight. I thought it was to hide the hairline. Okay.
Hey, man, you know, it doesn't matter.
That's cool.
I love it. Of course, see, they got jokes. They're kicking it off. But, of course, talk is for the 12th man. We are ready to go. Let's check in with my jokesters, first and foremost. Mr. Robin Ford, how are you doing this evening, sir?
Man, doing great, man. Excited about tonight's show. Of course, got a lot happening in the sports world.
I'm ready, man, even though I'm really sick of the Deflategate, but that's okay. We'll talk about that, too. JQ, sir,
know, right?
How are you doing, man?
Man, I'm good. Sir? I'm just trying to make sure we don't blow the 15. He's cranking the music up like that. We might destroy the amp.
Yeah, I thought we were about to blow the speakers out. That bass was pumping, wasn't it?
You said turn it up, man. So I turned it up, man. Normally,
oh, yeah.
you know, but you guys are talking junk, man.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about, man. We turned up now, man. We ready.
Yes, sir.
Let's make sure you guys are awake out there. You guys are awake. All right.
Turn up for what?
Yeah, turn it up, turn it down, all that good jazz. But let me set the stage as we always do. If you want to call on the show, the number is always 424-243-9519. We're also available on the Twitter world. If you go to @12, THMAN Sports, you can send us some notes and hashtags, all that fun stuff. And then finally, we are available on Facebook. If you go to Facebook.com, if you put in /12manSports, you find us. Or also, if you put in @12man, you will find us. That was pretty quick. But as Robert said, and as JQ said, we got a lot of things to talk about. Let's get this turned up. And right off the bat, I know we're sick of this topic. Lord have mercy. But you didn't know, surprise, surprise, Tom Brady actually is going to appeal this suspension. And, let's just kind of kick this off so we can say it's over. So, JQ, what do you think about this? I'm going to start with you as far as, we knew this was coming. You know, so what are your thoughts on this, sir?
Absolutely nothing par for the course. Of course, he's going to appeal the suspension because that's what they do. He's trying to get reduced from 42 games so he doesn't miss a quarter of the season. I wouldn't expect anything less of him because if you don't appeal, that's almost an admission of guilt on his part if he didn't appeal. So, you know, so he's got to appeal. And, you know, the NFLPA came out to support him. And I was surprised. Jonathan Gilman also came out to support him as well. So, no surprise there. It's going to have to run its course. And I know the NFL probably – I think they kind of do like it because it also keeps the NFL in the forefront, you know, during the days where not a whole lot is going on. So sometimes that publicity is still publicity and it's good publicity. So I don't think they're going to quibble too much. But I love Roger Goodell just being an absolute boss saying, I don't care, you're going to appeal. I'm going here to appeal myself and I'm not going to turn it over to a to a neutral arbitrator. It's like, wow. So, you know, nothing new there.
Rob Ford, what do you think about this, sir?
Yeah, I mean, just breaking news prior to our show, Roger Goodell is going to hear Tom Brady's appeal himself, and obviously the players and Tom Brady was asking for someone else, so that's not going to happen. I think at best the suspension is reduced one game, just my prediction. I think it still is going to be either 3 or a 4-game suspension. The thing that bothers me about this whole situation is I still think the NFL was very hypocritical in this situation because they claim that the Patriots organization, meaning Bill Belichick and ownership, had no knowledge of the situation, that only Tom Brady was aware of the situation. But yet, they took a first-round pick and a fourth-round pick from the Patriots, and they fined the team $1 million. To me, that's almost saying, okay, the Patriots did know about this because you're penalizing the organization as well as Tom Brady. And so that bothers me a lot when it comes to this situation. And if that's the case, if you're going to penalize this team with draft picks, obviously you're saying that the team was aware of it. Now, whether it was the owner or whether it was the coach, where is the suspension on their part? So that's what bothers me about this. I think the NFL was very hypocritical in this whole situation, and I think that's what bothers me the most.
I agree with you, Rob. Go ahead, Jake. I don't know if you want to finish up and say something like you're excited about that. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, you know what? I also think that part of that, that's a great point, Rob. But I think they almost like, you know, split the baby, so to speak, is that they didn't give out a year-long suspension for Bill Belichick like they should have, the same way they did for Sean Payton, saying, you know, ignorance is not an excuse. So they didn't want to suspend him for a whole year. They was like, but since we're not going to suspend you for a whole year, let's get this $1 million about a year and give us this first-round pick back. So I think it was kind of one of those deals where they said, okay, we're not going to do this piece, but we're going to hit you in a different way. But I totally agree. You can't say that they didn't know and didn't hit them that hard. So, yeah, that's ridiculous. But I still go to the point of, if you told Sean Payton that, how don't you tell Bill Belichick the same thing?
And hitting the first-round pick is no slouch. I mean, obviously, those are hard to recover from, losing a first-round pick. But the fourth-rounder, of course, they'll recover from that. The $1 million, oh, that's nothing. But taking a first-round pick from them, I mean, that's a pretty stiff penalty. Like I said, if you're going to penalize the organization, that tells me alone that there should have been other suspensions within the organization. Like I said, whether it be the head coach, whether it be the general manager, there's somebody within the organization should have been suspended in addition to. My opinion.
Breaking news, McNally says that he didn't deflate. Whenever he said deflate, he wasn't talking about football. He was talking about weight. He was talking about he was too fat. And deflate
that's
means I was going to deflate myself. So
just throw
that out there,
man,
you know.
When do you ever hear somebody trying to lose weight calling themselves a deflator? That's a
bunch
of blunt. That's one of the biggest lies I've ever heard in my life.
Hey, man,
did you also
spin that, man. Did you hear
they started a Kickstarter campaign to raise $1 million to help pay the fine, the fans?
I heard about that.
Wow.
Nonsense. So they can get the fans to pay the fine. Let's just say that Roger Goodell, he's pretty upset that him and Kraft aren't going to have any more meetings. So he's trying to like kind of smooth it over. He's like, I had to do that for you guys, but we can get around it. So I'm telling you, man, we'll see, man. It's a never ending saga. I know, guys. I want to ask you about the legacy of Tom Brady because, and the Patriots too, guys, because it always seems like they always in the middle of something, man. You know. There's always smoke, there's fire. But does this kind of tarnish his legacy, or is it kind of like, is that why he's trying to appeal guys, or is this more or less just another one of those things he's just trying to, like, get by for this one season? I mean, what do you think about that? Go ahead, Rob. What do you think about that, sir?
Well, I mean, I mentioned this on the show last week, and, you know, I know my opinion is slightly different than you guys' opinion on this situation. Or from the grand scheme of things, I still think deflating a football – or what have you, I don't think it has a huge impact on the game. Breaking the rules, I mean, rules are rules, obviously, and if that's part of the game and there are rules, you're not supposed to do it, then there should be a penalty for it. So in the grand scheme of things, as far as his play on the field, I don't think it should ruin his legacy. Would it be a slight asterisk? Maybe, but I still think he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. I don't think it should tarnish his play on the field tremendously, and part of the reason for the appeal, obviously, losing four games, man, you get off to a 1-3 or 0-4 start, that's hard to recover from, and so that's the big reason why he's trying to appeal the suspension. Belichick, you know, he did go 11-5 with Matt Castle, so you know he might be able to, you know, pull something out. While Brady is out those first four games. But, you know, they're just trying not to dig themselves a huge hole to start the season. So that's the main reason for the appeal. You know, you mentioned that Jonathan Vilma is on the side. You know, if you recall, you know, during the so-called Bounty Gate, the NFL suspended Will Smith, Jonathan Vilma. They also suspended players in addition to Sean Payton, Jovet. Yeah. But if you recall, the players got off.
Yeah.
And they never had to serve not one game because Paul Tagliabue, you know, once they turned it over to him as a, you know, independent person to review the case, he saw he found no wrongdoings. And so that's why Jonathan Vilma is kind of backing him up on this situation here. And says, you know, you got to fight the NFL in court. And Vilma, Will Smith, and those guys, you know, got away without having to serve any time or any suspension time there. So it's going to be interesting to see how long this appeal process goes and if Tom Brady decides to take the NFL to court.
You're not cheating. You ain't trying. Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, not too much to put on that. I think it's really more just a footnote to his career. I don't think it's necessarily going to tarnish anything. I think, if anything, it just puts a more of a dark cloud on the Patriots organization because, like you said before, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. But, you know, as much as I dislike him, you know, you can't quibble with, you know, winning four Super Bowls and just the runs he's had. And then you talk about the Super Bowls they've lost to the Giants. They could be looking at six. So, I mean, I don't think it's going to tarnish it. He's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I don't think there's any doubt in my mind.
Gotcha. Good call. Good call, fellas. That's what we like to wrap up. All right, let's switch gears here. Let's talk about the Cowboys here. And Jerry Jones, surprise, surprise, came out and said that the Cowboys' run game will be even better without DeMarco Murray. Is he telling the truth, or is he just trying to have some, you know, vibrato, if you will? Rob, what do you think about the statement, sir?
I think it's going to be their offensive line is tremendous, and they just got Lael Collins out of LSU. Even though he got drafted, the guy's got the capability of starting from day one at either guard position or right tackle to help a great offensive line be even better. And even if he doesn't start, they just added a lot more depth to the offensive line. So that offensive line is going to be tremendous. And Collins is a tremendous run blocker. He's a road grader. I still think, though, I still think that Murray was a talented runner. So you got to give him some of that credit along with that offensive line. So I'm going to say I disagree with Jerry Jones on this. I think there's going to be a slight drop-off, not much. I think they can have a running back by committee approach with the offensive line that they have. But I think you still got to give Murray some credit in that situation. So I'm going to say they're going to have a slight drop-off in that running game. Not much, but I think it'll be a slight drop-off.
JQ, your thoughts?
I think there's a whole lot of pig suey there. He's trying to amp his homeboy up McFadden from his alma mater because I think it's going to be more than a slight piece. If you're depending on Darren McFadden to get you 16 games, I think history has proven that's not going to happen. I think they've got a whole a roster of running back backups and not a bellwether cow, and that might work a couple of games, but not for a full 16. So I think he's just trying to amp his own guys up, saying, you know, I believe in you. He decided to leave us, and we can get this done because you got the best offensive line in the game. But like you said, DeMarco Murray was not a slouch. You know, you spent that pick on him for a reason, and the Eagles gave him that money for a reason. So don't discount what he brought to that running game, even though he had a fabulous offensive line. I think they take more than just a slight step back. They won't be awful, but I think they will feel DeMarco Murray not being there, especially trying to depend on Darren McFadden to get you 16 games.
Hey, you look at the point that
Go ahead, Rob.
Go ahead, Andre. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to give you the names of the running backs here, but I'll let you finish that thought, Rob, because you're certainly can do that. So go ahead, Rob.
Oh, I was just going to make a point. Michael Irvin just recently made the point that he thinks the Eagles is the favorite to win the NFC East. And I know we can talk about that in a second here because of DeMarco Murray. So he's putting a lot of emphasis on how good of a back that DeMarco Murray is. And, you know, he's a former Cowboy as well. But he's predicting that the Eagles, and we've been giving Chip Kelly a lot of heat this offseason. But Michael Irvin seems to think that the Eagles are the team to beat in the NFC East.
Yeah, okay, Mike.
Well, I was going to say real quick, Darren McFadden, Joseph Randall, Lance Dunbar, and Ryan Williams. Those are your current running backs for the Cowboys. So, I don't think anyone strikes fear in the heart.
Right.
You know, maybe that's you know, Jerry Jones trying to do some things. We don't have Jerry Jones trying to talk that thing. And once again, guys, I don't know why you would mess up something that was working, because Tony Romo, finally was able to get that team out of the playoffs because he had a strong running game. So you just literally eliminated that piece. So once again, I agree with you both guys that it's not the smoke and mirrors, pig suey, all of that. And I'm not quite saying that Mike Irvin, that the Eagles are up there just quite yet, but, you know, I definitely agree. This is, you know, that you're taking a hit by not having DeMarco Murray out there for sure, guys. Woo! I love it. I love it.
And you made a good point, too. You expect Darren McFadden to stay healthy the whole season. You got another thing coming.
Exactly. And I can understand letting Murray go for the money, but what I quibble with is the fact that you're sitting there and you could have gotten – tried to move up to go get a Gordon or taking one of those top tier backs and then say, okay, we're just straight with DeMarco. Well, I mean, with Darren McFadden, I'm like, okay, you know, let's not get carried away. So that's the only piece of it. Like he was going to cost a lot of money. You still got to pay Dez Bryant. I understand the decision for him, but I don't understand the decision not to replace him with a better talent you could have got on a rookie contract after the draft.
Yeah. Very, very questionable. All right, guys, we're having fun, man. Let's talk about this. The top five quarterbacks in the game today. Rob, I guess this is an interesting topic because I don't know if you're trying to, like, always talk about Drew Brees or something. I don't know, man. But, let's kind of kick this off here. And,
mentioned Drew Brees on the show yet.
I know, man. See, it's coming, man. It's eventual, man, you know. So, I'm curious to hear this, and I'm gonna start with JQ.
You've been talking about Tom Brady.
I know. I'm just saying. So JQ, who do you have for the top five quarterbacks in the game today, sir?
Yeah, that was a little bit. It's called foreshadowing there by Andre. I'm gonna go with Aaron Rodgers definitely. I think right now he's number one, and he might be on that number one line by himself. That's just me. I'm gonna go with Drew Brees for sure. It's the same characters. I still, as much as I hate Tom Brady, you can't really discount what he's done. You still have Tom Brady there. I still think you have the Sheriff. You still have Peyton there. I think he was hurt at the end of last year. And when you get older, it's not as easy to bounce back when you're hurt. But I still think, you know, his mind and his ability to manipulate the defense and control the offense still puts him up in that top five. And what am I at? Four. And then the fifth one, it just lost me. I'm sorry. I had a brain freeze. That one's open for debate. I mean, I like Stafford, but, you know, he makes too many mistakes. He throws too many interceptions. And I like Russell Wilson, but he's got a strong running game, so it's hard for me to put a whole lot of stock in him. So I'm going to go with Andrew Luck to round out my top five.
Very nice. Okay. Good deal.
Good call.
Rob Ford.
Pretty much the same five, and maybe not in the same order, but I will go with Aaron Rodgers, number one, of course. And I will go with Andrew Luck, number two. I will go with Peyton Manning, number three. Tom Brady, four. And I will go with Drew Brees, number five. It's the top five quarterbacks in that order as of right now in the game.
What? Number four?
I can't argue with that.
What's the matter?
It must be a different. It must be a different.
Give me your five, Drake.
It's a similar statement.
Hey.
I mean, similar quarterbacks. I'm just saying.
I'm objective. You know, I'm not gonna just sugarcoat something because it's my team.
It's Robert Ford is like a different Rob Ford over here, man. I like it. So, like you said, Aaron Rodgers is definitely number one. I like Andrew Luck at number two, actually. I'm not going to hate. I'm going to be objective. I'm going to put Tom Brady three, Drew Brees four, and I'll probably end that with Peyton Manning as well, too, at number five. But that's just me, man. Just same set of quarterbacks. We all have different types of shakeups here, but those are the top five QBs. You know, and the good things about that, guys, is we're talking about right now. So, there's a couple of guys that are outside the cusp, whether you like a Ben Roethlisberger, whether you like a Matt Ryan or a Phillip Rivers or, you know, the guys that are trying to do some things too. So there's a lot of guys that are definitely within that realm. You got that second tier quarterbacks too, man. So, it's always good to hear that. Everyone seems to like the upside of Andrew Luck, man. He's a great guy. Russell Wilson, you know, like you said, JQ, man, I'm kind of surprised, you know, we've catapulted Andrew Luck up there, but he hasn't won anything yet, you know, but Russell Wilson has two Super Bowls, you know, so, you know, we like the ceiling, but,
But I'm saying,
I mean, you know, if you put Andrew Luck on Seattle, you know,
he's going to win too, but I'm
just saying, it's all in the thing, you know, he has to, he's done it, you know, so, anyway, it is what it is. I'm not even going to bring up Tony Romo, but that's all good.
No, not Tony Romo.
Somebody was trying to text me that to you guys. It was cracking me up, man. I got a good Cowboys fan that's a friend of mine. He's trying to talk some junk here. But anyway.
You should have blocked it.
I don't know if that's good in there, but we're having fun, guys. Having a good time here, as always. Let's talk about this, guys. We're doing really, really good. We got a lot of time here. We got about 9 minutes here. And let's talk about the NFC East. You know, so this is obviously a great opportunity to kind of figure out where we are standing wise as far as this. The NFC East, obviously, guys, this is a great thing. We were just talking about it. Michael Irvin was just on this. You know, Eagles, Redskins, Cowboys, and the Giants.
Crack
so,
is whack.
Yeah, crack is whack. Wait, is that what you said, JQ? You know what you said?
Trying to tell Andre that all these years.
You know what? I think we want to move closer to you, Rob. I'm not even going to talk about this right now. NFC East. So I guess if you're picking between the lesser of two evils or the lesser of four evils, this is an interesting division because Eli had a bad year, but they've got a great up-and-coming star with Odell Beckham Jr. But I don't know if they did enough in the draft. You know, the Cowboys, like you talked about, Romo, I'm never trusting Romo. You lost to Marco Murray. You know, hey, you know, was it, you know, smoke and mirrors, or can an offensive line be good enough to have a, you know, running back? Redskins, they still got quarterback, you know, issues. Is it going to be RG3? Is it not? You know, who knows? Eagles, you got the mad scientist Chip Kelly. You know, he's making all these moves. If you're an Oregon guy, he's calling you to come home. But I you know, who knows? So, fellas, if you would say, hey, 1, 2, 3, 4, what would you say? And I'm going to kick it off with you, Rob. How would you kind of rank the teams here as far as for the NFC East?
And for our listeners out there, Andre still believes that Chip Kelly is trying to trade his left nut for Marcus Mariota, by the way. So just throw that out there here real quick.
I love
so
you
still on the phone with the, offering that up to the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, man.
But,
and the Tim Tebow sermon.
Yeah.
I didn't even say the name, guys. I was gonna let it go, but it's all good. I love it.
But, getting back to business here, the NFC East, I know we just talked about the Cowboys and their running game is going to be downgraded without Murray, but I still like them to win the division and repeat as the division champs. When you look at the passing game, they got Dez Bryant still, and they still got the weapon. You know, we talked about the running game, but also Tony Romo was not getting hit last year either, so that's another element of that offensive line. You know, giving him protection. He took care of the ball since he had protection last year. I think the defense will also be improved as well. So I still like them as the favorite to win that division. I actually think the Giants will move up to the number two spot. Andre mentioned Odell Beckham Jr. You know, I don't think Eli will be great, but I think he will be a little bit better than he was last year. And I actually like some of the things they did in the draft, especially getting Landon Collins, early part of the second round. I think he's going to improve that defense as well, give them hard-hitting presence back there at the strong safety position. I think they're getting Eli Harold as well is going to give them another pass rusher, give them some depth as far as rushing the passer. So I like them to move up to that two spot. Even getting Eric Flowers, I think, is going to improve the offensive line and, you know, at the tackle position as well. So I kind of like what they did in the draft, and that should also help Eli in the as far as pass protection as well. So I think they'll move up. I think the Eagles will be three, and I think, as JQ mentioned, the Redskins will be bringing up the rear.
Yes, sir.
That's kind of interesting too. I'm curious about if Bradford's going to last the whole season, man. But that's neither here nor there.
That's the point.
Go ahead, Jake. I'm going to leave that right in.
That's,
you.
That's,
go ahead.
That's a good reason why I have him third. I still would take Eli over Sam Bradford.
Yeah, and twice on Sunday.
At least he's going to be healthy.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm going to do it in reverse order. I'm going to do it in reverse order and try to bring it up quick. Fourth, Washington, RG3. That's all that needs to be said. Number three, Sam Bradford. He hasn't been healthy in two and a half years. So even if he stays healthy, you don't even know what level of production you're going to be able to get from him to count on, because he just hasn't had live bullets fly around him yet for a full season, you know, in a couple of seasons. So I'm going to put Philadelphia at three because of that reason. I'm going to drop Dallas to two, because I don't think that you have that fear with DeMarco Murray in the back there. And like I said before, depending on McFadden and, you know, the cast of cast-offs that they have back there at running back, that's going to put more pressure, I believe, on Tony Romo. And we all see what happens when Tony Romo gets pressure. And it may not be because of a shaky offensive line. It's because he doesn't have as solid of the running game to depend on. So I dropped him down to two. I put the Giants to one for all the reasons that Rob detailed. And then you get Victor Cruz back. And you don't ask him to come back and have to be the number one guy, because now you have Beckham. And let's not forget about Ruben Randle. And you put Cruz in there in that three wide receiver set. And I like Andre Williams and I like Rashad Jennings as a 1-2 punch in the backfield. And you solidify that offensive line, get another tackle there. And then you get Landon Collins in the start of the second round. So I moved the Giants up. But I think it's a razor-thin margin between the Giants and the Cowboys for winning the East. But I'm going to go with the Giants. And the pedigree, they've been there, they've done it. They got two Super Bowls with that core. I'm going to go with them.
Like,
I think that's
like
a good call.
Like,
that's a good point about the Cruz. That's the one thing that I forgot about, too. That's a really good point.
So, JQ is, like, looking at my notes, man. That's exactly what I was going to say, man. So we're on the same page with that, man. But, yeah, you know, definitely I've got the same order that you had, JQ. You know, obviously I think that the Giants had an off year last year, but they're getting a couple of key players back, like you said. They made a lot of good moves, like you said, Rob, behind the scenes of the draft, man. So, you know, I think they, you know, you got the rising star Odell Beckham. So I think this is a team that, like you said, it's a razor-thin line. But, you know, I think the Giants can definitely take a division only because of the instability of the other teams is going to do that too, man. So we'll keep an eye on that for sure, man. So exciting as well. Rob, you got about 2 minutes and 20 seconds, sir. I want to talk really quickly because we want to spend the rest of the time talking about the NBA playoffs and Rob's draft and whatnot too, the first mock draft. Pacquiao and Mayweather are discussing a rematch. Just real quick, unbelievable. I don't know if we're gonna fall for the hype again, but we'll see how that goes down to you. Just no immediately from JQ. Rob, you got about a quick second to talk about that, Rob.
Well, I know we talked about this on last week. We thought it was out of the question, but now the two sides are talking. Obviously, Pacquiao has returned back to the Philippines. He's having shoulder surgery. And it looks like he's going to need about 6 months to recover from surgery, and then he's going to need about 3 months to train. So there's a possibility in another year or so, or give or take a little bit, that they could have a rematch. And Pacquiao says the rematch would be his final fight, win or lose. And it's up for discussion.
No.
And right now it's just up for discussion. We'll have to wait and see. You know, the first fight did not live up to the hype at all. And, you know, matter of fact, you know, game seven of the Spurs and Clippers was the same night, and that was better than the fight,
yep.
In my opinion.
Yeah, all right. So, you're right, Rob. You got a minute. Go accept the OT course from Rob, and let's get this party started, sir.
Yep, we're going to be talking NBA and OT. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion live, but tune into it to get our comments, and as well as the NBA draft coming up soon in about 6 weeks. You're going to want to get that information as well. Our next live portion will be next Thursday night, same time, same channel, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. For our friends in Hawaii, aloha, that's going to be 5 p.m. Good night, people.
Stay classy, San Diego.
Good night. Stay classy. I love it. That's the sign off that I'm looking for. good time. So see you guys same time, same channel. We'll have some fun. Let's kick it in, man. The NBA playoffs, we are officially in the OT portion, and we're going to kick this off with a lot of good topics, guys. And I think that the thing that I want to talk about Before we talk about the main playoff pushes, guys, is there's been a lot of coach movement. You know, obviously, you know, we've talked about Scott Brooks getting let go, and the Oklahoma City, they made a move immediately to sign Billy Donovan. So I don't know if that was a, was that kind of a too soon whenever you could have Tom Thibodeau out there as a coach. And even though I know that Rob, he's rumored to be number one for your Pelicans, I don't know if you can talk about it real quickly. And number one, why did the Pelicans fire Monty Williams? I thought he was doing a good job, and the next thing you know, he's actually out the door. So I know you're closest to that, sir. So I don't know if you want to comment on that situation really quickly.
Well, I could see both sides of it. I could see the reasons for the Pelicans keeping Monty Williams, but I could also see the reason for them firing Monty Williams as well. And, you know, if you look at the last three seasons, the Pelicans have gotten better each year, and he's had to deal with a lot of injuries. But, you know, there's some within the organization feel like they lost a lot of games this season in which they should have won. And, you know, then, of course, you get swept by the Warriors. Of course, the Warriors are no slouch. But I think the organization would have liked to seen them win one or two of those playoff games at least to kind of build some kind of momentum into next season. And obviously, they're looking for someone that has a championship pedigree because you believe you got a superstar in Anthony Davis that can help you win titles down the line. And so, based on all of the sources, it looks like they're waiting to see what the Bulls are going to do with Thibodeau, and he's the Pelicans' number one choice at the moment. But if you go back to 5 years ago, when they were still the Hornets, Tom Thibodeau was their number one choice then, and Monty Williams was their number two choice. But Thibodeau, of course, decided to go with Chicago. At the time, New Orleans organization was a little bit unstable from an ownership standpoint. But now the ownership is taken care of with New Orleans, and they have the cash and they have the money to take care of the situation with Thibodeau. And plus, they have Anthony Davis, so they'll be able to pretty much entice. They'll have their pickings. I think right now they'll be the most attractive place for any head coach to land at the moment.
Straight cash.
Any thoughts on that, JQ? Yeah, any thoughts on that, JQ, about that? I love it.
Yeah, and I think the thing that happened to Monty is the same thing that happened to Scott Brooks is that they're good player coaches, but it's the X and O's. You know, sometimes you get that clogged toilet offense, and they don't make adjustments like they need to in game and from game to game. And I think the nail on Monty's coffin was that 20-point lead that they blew against Golden State. Like you said,
absolutely.
I don't think they necessarily had a vision of them beating Golden State, but when you have them on the ropes at home and you blow it, you know, I think that was where they said, okay, it's time for us to make a change. He's hit his ceiling for what he can do for that team, so I'm not really upset with that. So I understand, and I think they should wait to see what goes on with Tibbs. I don't understand what's going on with Chicago when you have a coach who consistently makes his team play terrific defense. They are going deep into the NBA playoffs. You know, these past 5 years he's been there, and you have all this chatter about, you know, them not getting along and him being let go. But if I was the Pelicans, I don't know if I would trade a pick for him because I think you can wait Chicago out. I think that's a divorce that's going to happen. You should just probably wait it out and see. Because I think
the Pelicans don't have any picks to trade.
Well, they could go in the future, but I think they could wait. And like you said, they have, you know, Anthony Davis. You know, they have a very marketable centerpiece to where I think any coach would like, okay, if I can start with Anthony Davis, and you know, you still have, you know, Tyreek Evans if you can keep him healthy. And Anderson, you know, they have some pieces. They just have to stay healthy for a season and get a coach who was good with the X's and O's. I think that's a very desirable job with the way that roster is constructed right now. So I think they'll be okay ultimately, and I think it was a good decision to let go of Monty right now.
Yeah, just to kind of, you know, add my two cents, and I think you said the reason why you don't understand why we let them go, JQ, is probably because the same thing that the Pelicans are thinking of. Well, it's kind of weird because, you know, he's taken them so far, and they're thinking, well, you should be taking us further, you know, which is a weird statement. You know, maybe they're used to championships or something like that, but they're probably thinking, well, this is as far as you could take us, you know what I'm saying? You know, and so Thibodeau, yeah, he's had injuries and whatever not. I know, but I'm just saying, that's probably what they're thinking. And you know, it's one of those things, you know, be careful what you wish for because, you know, you can just mess up a really good thing. So, you know, you see, like, he's going to get an offer, and, you know, like Robert said, you know, here's Anthony Davis, come coach us, you know. So he'll be able to pick and choose where he wants to go, and he'll have the talented big man, and that's probably where he's going to end up coaching the Pelicans and add to that talent too, man. So, you know, You know, Chicago's loss is another team's gain, basically, in a nutshell, I would say.
Pretty much. I agree.
Yeah. You know, a couple of notes I'd like to add to that. You know, you look at the Golden State Warriors, for example. They fired Mark Jackson, and I thought they were foolish for doing that last season. Steve Kerr comes in, and the team gets better. You know, who knows? The team could have probably still gotten better with Mark Jackson. I guess we'll never know. But on the surface, you know, you're looking at it as Steve Kerr has got the team, you know, to number one seed in the Western Conference. They have 3-2 on Memphis. And by the way, the last two games, they've really stepped it up defensively and look like they've taken control of their series again. And I think Steve Kerr had a lot to do with that as well. So, you know, sometimes, you know, you fire a coach, even though you made it to the playoffs, you feel like somebody can get you a little bit further. I think in a Bulls situation with Tom Thibodeau, I don't think it's the fact that he can't get them further. I just think it's just a disconnect between he and the front office. And sometimes you just outstay your welcome, you know, and I think that's the situation. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. I think that's more so the situation with Chicago, as JQ just mentioned. Yeah, need a new voice to come in there. And can they get somebody better or as good as Tibbs? That's going to be tough. But, you know, just getting a new voice in there and see what happens.
And that's a great call. Who are you going to get better than Tibbs?
Yep. Who are you going to get? Rob, I'm trying to give you some time for your mock draft here. So if we want to say that for next time, we can. But really quickly, NBA playoffs, if you didn't know, Chicago was knocked out by the Cavs. So I couldn't think. I'm just kind of going through my little thing here. So interesting as far as that, too. But that's where we stand. Any thoughts on the series real quick, guys? Or Rob, you want to save the mock draft for next week? It's kind of your call, sir. We got about 11:36.
Let's just kind of get through this, and if we have time, cool. If we don't, we'll save it later. But, yeah, let's get to the NBA playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Shoot. Fire away.
Based on the Chicago-Cleveland series, I mean, I thought the first five games of the series, this series was as good as any series in the second round. By the way, I think the second round of playoffs have been fantastic.
Awesome.
Definitely better than the first round. And you got every series going at least six games, and we probably, I'm thinking, going to see at least one or two, maybe seven-game series out of the three that's still left. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. But I think we've been having some great games, buzzer-beating shots. I mean, this past weekend was phenomenal with Derrick Rose shot, with the Paul Pierce shot, and with the LeBron James shot.
I want no part of a seven-game series. I want no part of a seven-game series.
Yeah, you're going seven games, buddy.
Nope.
I agree, too, but we'll get. But the first five games at Chicago-Cleveland, I thought this was the best series of the four. And I tell you, Cleveland, what a tremendous job by, you know, even though LeBron James did not shoot the ball well in this series at all, I mean, he was in complete control of that team tonight, playing with a bunch of role players, if you really look at it.
Yeah.
He didn't have Kyrie Irving. But I tell you what, Tristan Thompson, this guy, you lose Kevin Love, you know, he's a good shooter. But I think they added a lot more toughness with Tristan Thompson. And this guy attacks the glass. He gives him lots of offensive rebounds. He rebounds the ball like old school Moses Malone, where he just throw it up off the glass and go get his own rebound.
Okay. Four.
He's not the scorer that Moses was, but he rebounds the ball like him, in my opinion. He has a lot of tenacity. And I think that gives this team a lot more toughness. Not saying they're better than they were with Love, because I think they can spread the floor out a little bit more with Love. But he definitely gives them a lot more toughness when he's on the floor. And Dele Bolivo, this guy, he stepped up big time, hitting big shots tonight for the Cavs. But the role players really stepped up for Cleveland. And LeBron James was creating opportunities for his teammates, even though he didn't shoot the ball well on tonight. And I think as we speak, we got a neck-and-neck game with the Rockets up by three. That should be interesting if Houston can pull that game out and go a game seven.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think Blake Griffin has been terrific in these playoffs. And, you know, the Clippers at one point were looking like the best team in the playoffs. But if Houston pulls this out and have to go back to Houston, who knows what happens there. Golden State is really stepping it up on defense in the last couple of games. I'm kind of leaning toward them pulling it out on the road against Memphis. But I definitely think the Wizards and the Hawks is going to go seven games. I know Andre don't want to hear that. That was a heck of a game last night, and Al Horford really came through big for the Hawks. So, you know, I know you guys want to add your two cents to it too, but that should be a seven-game series.
Just so, JQ, before you say your thoughts, I know both of y'all didn't want the Hawks to come out of the first round, and both of y'all didn't pick it. So, you know, I'll take that.
Come on, man.
But I'm going to say, we want no part.
I think the Hawks are going to win the series, though. I really do. I think the Hawks are going to win the series. I just think it's going to go seven.
But I'm saying, we want no part of a game seven. I'm just telling you straight up. You know, they got to be as far as
I'm sure they don't.
We need to end it tomorrow night. Suckers, your mama, all that stuff. The truth, whatever you want to call yourself, Paul Pierce series. Yeah, you know, end it tomorrow night. I want no part of that. You know, that's just Andre. JQ, you can add a little two cents, but I'm just saying, end it tomorrow night. I want no part. My nerves can't take it. Go ahead, sir. That's my little thought.
All right, I'll try to be quick and hit each one of them. I want to toot my own horn, but beep, beep. I told you when Kevin Love went out that Tristan Thomas had to step up big, and he's come in and he's filled that void, and I've been really impressed with his play. You know what you're going to get from LeBron. He wants to be more of a facilitator than have to, you know, score 30 points a night. That's just his mentality. He has more of a Magic Johnson mentality as opposed to a Michael Jordan mentality when it comes to that kind of action of passing versus putting the foot to the middle and always trying to score. But I've really enjoyed Tristan Thomas, and I've enjoyed Kyrie Irving gutting it out. He could have hung it up with tendonitis in the knee and a sprained foot, but he's still out there trying to make it work, so I give both of those guys a whole lot of credit. I sent you guys a text yesterday when I was watching the game. I think it's Al Horford is the guy, when we talked about Atlanta, who's going to step up in those crunch time minutes for the fourth quarter when you have a selfless team that likes to spread the ball around. But sometimes you have to have the guy that says, hey, I want the ball. I'm going to go to the rim. I'm going to take this mid-range jumper. I want these free throws. I think it's Al Horford. I think they have to get him and Teague or him and Schroeder in that pick-and-roll game down in the fourth quarter and make Washington adjust. But you knew Washington was going to play them tough. Paul Pierce, that's why they brought him to Washington, to get Wall back to play, you know, about 85%. And I think Bill is emerging as a star. Shifting over to the Western Conference, I'm loving Memphis's grit. They forced Golden State to play a slow-down game and not that running gun, you know, NBA Showtime game that they want to play. So that's how they've pushed Golden State to that brink. But I like the adjustments by Golden State, especially with Kerr putting Bogut on Tony Allen, who's a non-shooter and basically playing a zone. I think that changed a lot of that that series when they made that adjustment. And I think that's the difference we talked about earlier between Kerr and Jackson. And then going to the Clippers, Blake Griffin has always been a monster, but he's just taken it up another level in this series, especially when Chris Paul was hurt. Basically, Chalmers playing a point forward kind of role. He's just been ridiculous. I would like them to get away from this hacker Shaq, Jordan, Howard philosophy because it just destroys the flow of a game. But
absolutely,
that flip side of that is go to the gym, make your free throws. They won't do that.
Love it. JQ got it all in. Man, that is awesome. All right, so, Rob, I definitely want to spend enough time on the mock draft next week, if that's okay with you, sir, because I don't think we're going to get it. I want to spend enough time because you spent too much time putting your thoughts in that, too. So let's say that for next week. We've got about 2 minutes before we wrap this up. I just want to say real quick, and I was talking about this in the barbershop. You brought it back up again, and I love your point, JQ, about having one person that kind of felt being the Al Horford. But it's still a change. I mean, you know, whenever – you have one person to kind of guard, you know, if you have a LeBron James or a superstar, I mean, LeBron's the best player in the NBA right now, but it's easy to focus on that one guy, you know. So whenever you have a team, it's a different concept, man. You got to know anyone can be the guy, you know, and that's kind of, we have to get back to that mentality of, you know, I know we're kind of built for superstars, but that's why it's refreshing to see a team like the Hawks, you know, that, you know, anyone can kind of, you know, make that last second shot. So, yeah, it's good to have one person that, you know, hey, I'm not scared to take a shot, but, you know, it could come from anywhere. So that's just me. That's my little point. And that's why we're hoping that the Hawks can do some things so they can kind of prove everything wrong. But, you know, that's me. Rob, I'm going to let you set the stage. Sure, we got a minute left. And let's wrap up this another awesome edition of Talking Sports of the 12th, man.
Yep, join us on next Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 p.m. Pacific time. For our friends in Germany, there's going to be 5 a.m. on Wednesday morning. Of course, next week we'll be continuing to focus on the NBA playoffs, whatever's happening in the sports world at that time, and we'll probably even get nibble and dab into a little NBA draft talk as well coming up in a few weeks. Good night, people.
Good night, people. JQ.
Yes, sir. Get better, man. Andre 3000, payback Sunday. The champ is here.